Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 10 a.m. during the summer months. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. In today's sermon titled, All in All, our guest minister, Reverend Susan Grayson, tells us that Jesus was sent to earth to teach us a new relationship with God. We must remember how he treated everyone and follow in his ways. If we do, we do not have to worry about anything.
Please be seated. Let us come together knowing that we need healing. We need God's newness. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess to you that often we think we can do things all by ourselves, and often we worry about things. We forget that you give us everything we have, and that you make us who we are. Please forgive us for worrying. Forgive us for our silly self-reliance. Forgive us for forgetting you. Hear the good news. We are made new. We can cast our worries aside. We are clothed in Christ. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross and fought his way out of a grave for us. We are forgiven. Amen. Before we turn to the scripture, I just want to take a moment to say thank you so much for inviting me back. It is always such a pleasure to come and visit and worship with you here at Poolsville. My husband, David, and my son, Carter, and I, our older son is not here today, but we really enjoy coming here, and we just enjoy the sweetness that is this congregation. And boy, I think we've hit an all-time eclectic high this morning with the VBS and Bob Marley and just great stuff here this morning. And what a joy it is to meet Tom and to hear his playing. Just really wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, music just adds so much to our worship experience. Makes me very happy that we Presbyterians see fit to give it a central place in our worship experience. So thank you for having me today. And so let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Creator God, we thank you for this time and this sanctuary, these children, this music. We pray for the drivers behind those sirens, that they will make it to their destination safely and that they will be of service to those who await them. And now, Lord, as we enter more deeply into worship, we ask that you quiet our minds and open our hearts, that we may hear your word. In your son's name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 201 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. And I think think it's important to keep in mind that this, we believe that Colossians is written by the Apostle Paul. Some of his other epistles and letters, we scholars are a little more sure about. Colossians is a little bit more of a mystery for a variety of reasons, but most people think that it was written by the Apostle Paul, probably when he was in prison, and he had been in prison for his Christian beliefs and for his spreading of the gospel. And it was written to the people at Colossae, which is just a small village, but a very diverse village made up of people of various different nationalities and various faith orientations, some Jew, some Pharisee, some worshiping various angels. So a lot of different faith groups coming together in one small town. And Paul here, we believe, was his goal, was to write to them about a new idea of Christ. You know, sometimes we read the scriptures and we sort of take the message for granted. But I think it's interesting to keep in mind that he is writing to people for whom this would have been radical news for them to hear Christ, this man who had just died probably less than a year earlier and resurrected. This would have been radical news to them. So here Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, no longer circumcised and uncircumcised, no longer barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Well, friends, you have heard the scripture. Christ is all and in all. Do you feel that Christ is your all? Do you feel that Jesus is your all? Do you feel that you have been clothed with new clothes in Christ? How close do you feel to Jesus? I personally am a little uncomfortable with Jesus. Not what you want to hear from your guest preacher, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm very comfortable with God and the Holy Spirit and the resurrected Jesus, the Easter Jesus, all glowing. But sometimes the intimacy of the human walking around on this earth, Jesus, makes me a little uncomfortable. I've spent a fair amount of time with people who talk intimately about their very close daily relationship with Jesus. I have a cousin whose little boy, he's 7 or 8 years old now, regularly refers to feeling Jesus in his heart, feeling Jesus. And I believe him when he says that he feels Jesus. And I have a friend who talks about starting her day with her Jesus. You know, and there's just something about that makes me want to push away a little bit, seminarian that I am. I think about the movie the great theologian Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie. It may not quite be on your radar, but I'm from Eastern Kentucky. So, you know, in that movie, Ricky Bobby seems like every other sentence he's talking about the baby Jesus, the good Lord baby Jesus. And he has this intimate relationship, this almost internal relationship with the baby Jesus. And his wife and various other people are saying, you know, Jesus grew up. He was a grown man. He had a beard. And Ricky Bobby says, I like the baby Jesus. When he prays to the baby Jesus. And he goes into great detail about the little cuddly baby in his fleece blanket and heal me with your baby Jesus healing powers. And of course, it's very funny. And I do highly recommend that if you haven't seen it, you at least go to YouTube and you know, search for Ricky Bobby baby Jesus prayer. You'll get a good laugh out of it. And it is funny, but it's also very sweet, isn't it? It's very personal that he feels this way, that he can pray, not just to Jesus, but to the baby Jesus. Now, friends, you know, I've had a lot of seminary classes, and I don't always pray to Jesus. I feel much more comfortable praying to God or feeling the Holy Spirit or meditating with the Holy Spirit. That is very different. And when I think of Jesus, I really do like to think of the Easter Jesus, like here on your beautiful stained glass window, the ethereal haloed Jesus. That Jesus is a little further off, right? And kind of distant from us. But friends, when we do this, boy, we sure do deny ourselves a great gift. Jesus was this human man who walked around with us other human creatures. Jesus was this person who could look into human eyes and could care deeply about human cares. Sometimes I think it might help me to try to imagine the earthly Jesus, Jesus as he was when he walked among us. I have downloaded lots of images of Jesus, artists rendering of Jesus, but I have come to the conclusion that there is a reason that some of our faith ancestors were so careful about images. Images can actually be a deterrent to true knowing, to true intimacy. Now, many of you who know me and my family know that I also have an older son, Sammy, and he is not with us here today. He is in South Korea, and he's been there for a week, and he'll be there for two more weeks. He's working with a church program there where he's tutoring young children, village children in a sort of a rural poverty-stricken area, tutoring them in English. And Sammy is 15 years old. You know, he's very tall, so he looks like he's 18, but he's only 15, and he's still young and has a good ways to go in terms of maturity. And he's traveled away from home before by himself, but never this far away and never for this long a period of time. And we have heard from him once in the past week. And so I stand before you today, a little bit of a frazzled mother, you know, wondering about my son. And as I've talked with various friends about the fact that he was going to be away and how would I handle it, you know, I got some feedback that was not all that helpful. People were like, oh, get over it, or it's not about you, or whatever, you know. And I thought, well, isn't it just okay to miss your child, you know? Have we become so jaded that it's not okay to express longing or missing for someone when they're away? And so during this week, when I have missed Sammy, I have found myself wanting to look at photographs of him. You know, we have, of course, a billion photographs all over the house and on our phones. But it's been very unsatisfying looking at the photographs because they don't look the way he looks now, or his hair is different, or the image is not, it's just not him. So what I have found is that none of the photographs capture the Samminess. They are not alive and animated. So I found that I've done much better if I can simply close my eyes and think about Sammy. Remember Sammy. Imagine him asking, "What's for dinner?" Imagine him laying in his bed and reading. Imagine him playing video games with Carter. That has been much more satisfying to me. It feels more like something that is coming from my soul, a remembrance of an image of him. And when I forget about the outward images, I feel the love that I have for him. And I feel the love that I feel that comes from him. But I don't get that from looking at a photograph of him. And I wonder if the same might be true about images of Jesus. I mean, I love images of Jesus. I love your stained glass window here. And I love the extent to which images can be helpful. But I hope that images don't prevent us from going deeper. And images of Jesus can be really tricky, can't they? Because there's so many different renderings. You know, there's blonde Jesus, there's dark Jesus, there's tall Jesus. I was teaching a Sunday school class with children, and one kid said, "Yeah, but you never see a fat Jesus." I said, "Yeah, why is that?" Well, you know, he probably didn't have a lot of food, and he traveled a lot, so he was probably slender. And, you know, what we know of Jesus, if we think about it, just factually, he was probably dark-skinned and dark-haired and dark-eyed, and he probably was not clean-shaven. You know, he traveled a lot. He walked everywhere. He was constantly outside and in the wilderness. His skin was probably not smooth and glowing. There's a wonderful retreat center down near Harrisonburg. Carter has been there for several different middle school retreats. If you all have middle schoolers, it's a wonderful middle school retreat every summer. But in the lobby, it's Massanetta Retreat and Conference Center. In their lobby, they have a big portrait of a Jesus who's got sort of sandy, blonde, brownish hair, blue eyes, a very well-trimmed beard, and the kids call him Haircuttery Jesus. So we'll meet you by the Haircuttery Jesus picture, you know? And I like that they do that because it shows that it's sort of a wink week. You know, they know that Jesus probably did not look like he just stepped out of a barber shop, you know? He was probably a little rough looking. So if we can accept that any visual image we have of Jesus is going to be flawed, then we can let go of those. We can let go of trying to imagine his physical self. And we can instead feel the way we might have felt if we had known Jesus personally. Think about that, friends. There were people who knew our Savior, our Messiah. If we remember the way that he loved children, if we remember the way that he treated the poor and the outcast, if we remember that when he cast those money changers out of the temple, he was doing that for us. He was doing that for this sanctuary, this sacred space. If we remember that this human Jesus was specifically sent to create a new and vibrant way for us to know God. If we can really imagine that, then we can do so much more than just looking at a photograph. And friends, isn't this the whole idea behind Jesus anyway? The whole idea between having a Messiah who would be human and would walk among us so that we could know him, speak with him, touch him, be up close and personal with him, and follow his ways. God gave us a tremendous gift because God showed us that God wants intimacy with us, up close intimacy with us. if we are to follow Jesus and not to follow him at a distance, not like the Easter Jesus far off in the clouds, but up close to actually walk with him. Have you ever tried to walk under an umbrella with someone when it's raining? It's very awkward, isn't it? I mean, somebody always ends up getting wet. You know, there's the umbrella, and do you hold on to it, or do you let the other person hold on to it, and your back is getting wet. It's very hard to do. It's quite hard to get your steps in sync with one another and not hog too much of the umbrella, which is what my husband says I always do. But you know, to share that umbrella and walk together, it's very, very difficult, isn't it? But what if when we walk with Jesus, we walk so much closer than someone walking together under an umbrella? What if we are actually walking inside of Jesus' robes, inside of Jesus' cloak? I love that your stained glass window has Jesus in this big cloak and this big robe, because we can imagine what it might be like in our lives to be embraced by Jesus in that way and to have that kind of closeness. Our scripture passage this morning tells us that we have clothed ourselves with a new self. That if we call ourselves Christians, we come here on Sunday mornings to proclaim our Christianity, we have clothed ourselves with a new self. And that new self comes from Jesus. If we walk with Jesus, if we walk so close to Jesus that we are literally in his essence, in his cloaks, in the folds of his robe, we will not have to work hard to live a godly life. We will not have to work hard to live a godly life. Now, the hard part of this piece of scripture, friends, is all the stuff that it talks about that we need to stop doing. It's a tough piece of scripture because we're not supposed to get angry, show wrath or malice, have abusive language, no slander. I mean, who can live up to that? You know, of course, we are going to fail, and we are going to fail every day. I know that I fail at that every day. But the one chance we have is that closeness with Jesus. That is where the forgiveness comes. That is where the grace comes. That is where walking in a life in Christ can become as easy as it is possible to be. All of those things that Paul lists, fornication, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, all of them, could it be that they might simply fall away from us? Could it be? Could it be that there is no room for them under Jesus' cloak? I wonder. If Jesus is to be our all in all, and if we are to live a Christian life that is full of intimacy with Christ, then, friends, we do receive the wonderful gift of walking with Christ, fully in his presence, fully living into him, our all in all. And to close out the sermon this morning, I want to do something a little unusual. I talked with Tom about this. I showed him the piece of music, and he almost rolled his eyes. I was like, do you think you can play this? Of course, I hadn't heard him play. And he was like, yeah, I think I can play this. Anyway, you have the lyrics inserted into your bulletin, and if you didn't get them, please do share with someone. This is a very sweet song. You probably know it, who may have heard it before. I'm sure some of you musical people have done it before. And to me, it really sums up the essence of living intimately and personally with Jesus. And what I'd like to do here today, because I know that you are a musical congregation, is to do it as a round. So we'll sing it all the way through once. And then the second time around, I will lead this side, and we will begin singing just the chorus. So watch me, and you all just keep singing it as it's written and follow along with Tom. And this side, I will lead you in the round part of it. So give us a little introduction there, Tom, and we'll start. May you leave here today knowing that Jesus is walking with you, with us, and that if we choose, we can enter into those cloaks and walk so closely and beautifully together with Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.